TSRTC employees not getting their employees not getting their wages.
Mm-hmm.
You keep writing about that, eventually they get their wages.
Right.
They call and say, you know, thank you for trying. Thank you for speaking for us. Those are the small, small happiness that you get. You call, you write a story, and the GHMC zonal commissioner allots sanitation to for one particular area because you wrote it. A particular project gets expedited because a lot of people are suffering in that locality where the project is stuck. These things are small, small changes which you can bring about as a journalist.
Hello and welcome to the show, It's a Postman. It's an interview episode this time. For this interview episode, I have a passionate and a very diligent journalist. His reporting has made a lot of changes in the current affairs at district and state levels. His articles are widely read. He works for the News Minute as a special correspondent. His reporting is very detailed and he follows through every topic very thoroughly. If you haven't read his articles yet, you're missing out. Check out for Mithun MK, that's MITHUNMK, with thenewsminute.com. This human is also my great friend. His wife Aditi Malik, who was here as a guest earlier, she has a few things to say about him. He's curious as a cat, so curious that I fear he might get into trouble someday. He's straightforward. He looks really tough and might sound rude, cause no sugarcoating bullshit kind of guy, but very emotional. Investigative in nature, always looking for why, what, when, where, and how. He also loves data. He can apparently eat, breathe, sleep, drink data. So, let me introduce you, Mithun. Hi, Mithun, and welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me.
Thank you, Madhav, for having me here, and thank you to all listeners.
So, I was talking to Aditi, and while she was telling me about you, she mentioned one of the quotes that your professor had said in your college: remove journalism from my name and I don't exist. And Aditi was saying that you feel almost the same. So, can you please explain that? Why do you feel that?
Aditi is my partner, Aditi Malik. She's a reporter with the Times of India.
Mm-hmm.
And in journalism, in journalism school, we did our journalism in IIJNM,
mm-hmm.
Bangalore, Indian Institute of Journalism and New Media, Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And over there, we had this professor, Professor Dakshinamurthy, who used to teach politics, political journalism course.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his statement that you take journalism away from him and he does not exist. And I strongly identify with that. It's because to be at that J school, I had to go through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents were not agreeing with me to become a journalist. I was 28 when I decided to quit
mm-hmm.
Engineering field and move to journalism. It was a financial suicide.
Wow, yeah.
But it was a financial suicide. You make very less money in journalism.
True.
But it's passion. I mean, you love what you do.
You love what you do.
The job defines you. You are always a person who questions.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's the 10th man who thinks the different way and asks in very uncomfortable questions. So I thought this journalism is, it suited me. I just slipped into my own skin.
Right.
So if you take that away from me, even I don't exist.
You feel alive when you do journalism.
Yeah, I feel alive when I'm on the field, when I'm struggling to get information, trying to bring accurate information. Yeah, I love doing that.
By the way, before I move to the second question, I read your articles a lot. I be on the News Minute, this thing, and I keep looking for your, and I keep following you on tweet. Excellent articles. And people, if you haven't checked out, go check out Mithun MK on thenewsminute.com.
Thank you.
No problem, man. So you said you were an engineer before. And then you moved to journalism. Why that shift? What made you do engineering before? And why did you change to journalism? I know journalism is your passion, but when did you start learning about it? And
1999 90s, I saw this one journalist by the name Nick Robertson on in CNN. So I used to follow him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a satellite technician who became a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a funny story about how he went about and became a journalist also. Go check it out. It's pretty good.
Sure.
Fun, this thing.
Okay.
So even then, that was like, you know, wow, this job seems very interesting. You're out of the field, you're covering war zones.
Right.
It sounds like fun. And then you start reading about what happens at war zones,
mm-hmm.
what happens over there. You smiley get curious about, okay, there's a lot of injustice going on. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of systemic problems which needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
People need to identify and amplify and make these things you know, easy to consume for the masses.
Right.
So, and I felt that, you know, I will be able to, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but by the time you reach 10th standard, 11th standard, 12th standard in school, your parents want you to do engineering.
Right.
My sister couldn't, my sister is the one who wanted to be an engineer.
Right.
But she ended up taking commerce. My father didn't allow her to become an engineer because she's a woman.
Okay.
We grew up in UAE, so he would have to send her all the way to India alone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want that. He didn't
right.
want to send his daughter to India alone to study in a foreign city alone. So I was forced to take engineering because of what somebody else said. You know, Tripoli is really good. Electrical electronics field is doing good. Go ahead and do engineering. I'm like, okay, is this what everybody is doing? Yeah. And electrical electronics engineering is full of maths.
Correct.
And I'm a guy who barely passed maths in 12th standard. I got pass mark is 34 and I got 35. So the guy sitting behind me, the guy behind him, they all flunked. So those who looked at my paper flunked. So it's that bad, you know. A person like me shouldn't be doing engineering. And I did engineering. It took me damn fucking 7 years to finish engineering.
Okay.
If I had failed that last semester, I would have been not fit for technical education. So, 7 years. After 4 years, 3 years almost, joblessness, depression, low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is... It's the time when internet was booming from 2005 to 2009. So... You start reading a lot of articles, news,
right.
and read books, a lot of books. And I, like, you know, I was mentally preparing myself to move to journalism field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my parents said, no, you finished engineering. You took a lot of trouble to finish your engineering. Now go work as an engineer. I'm like, what the fuck? So they forced me into a job in Dubai and I was bad at the job.
Mm-hmm.
I was a horrible engineer. I was very bad technically. I was good at managing. I was good at managing the construction site and all that. But it was very bad technically. And I got laid off because of performance. It was very poor performance. And a person like me shouldn't be constructing buildings. That much I would say. And if you're entering any mall in Alain or somewhere in Tawam Hospital, be a little careful. So, but it was a good thing that... they laid me off. I didn't fight for the job. I didn't. When they wanted to, when they said we'll fire you and stuff like that, I was like, you know what? It's a good thing. I can escape from this cycle of doing a job which I'm not good at and I'm really unhappy about. I was very depressed at the job. When I came back, my parents kicked me out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
I came back to my parents were in India by the time I came back, they kicked me out. They didn't want, they were ready to fund my education in MBA and things like that, but they didn't want a journalist. And when I asked them that, they tell me that it is because, first thing, we are Muslims.
Okay.
My name is Mithun, but by faith, I'm my parents are Muslims. I am not. I am an atheist.
Right.
So, but you have got your dick circumcised, so how much ever you try to run away, the religion follows you. So they're like, okay, you're a Muslim guy who wants to become a journalist, which is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, people will throw stones at our house. People will target us. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't fund me. They kicked me out of my house. They went to Australia and I was homeless for nearly a few months. My brother-in-law helped me out.
Mm-hmm.
he to convince my parents to fund my education. That's how I got into IIJNM. So there was a lot riding for me when I joined journalism school, that I had to prove myself to my parents that, you know, I'm not a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a failure. I wanted to convince to them that, you know, that's something I can do.
Right.
Yeah. And at least, and keep a job at least.
Right.
And there was very low self-esteem that time. And when I joined journalism, I realized that I'm not actually an odd person. There are a lot of people who are equally as odd as me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say odd, I mean like in the sense like the questioning kind, the thorn in the conversation, some, the person who will look into the minute details and a counter question. Like, did it really happen like that? To start asking critical questions. I'm not alone.
So you're not the normal, you're not the mainstream, rather.
Not the mainstream, but apparently all these pricks,
yeah.
They become journalists. They have become good journalists. So journalism school was an eye-opening place. I really loved it. And first job was also with the New Indian Express, Hyderabad Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start learning real issues, you start looking into... I was given transport beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Initially, you would be like, what is that to write about transport? But then you start looking into the policy, you start understanding. It's a lot of things to be still written about.
It's an ocean in itself.
It's an ocean as itself, yeah. That's how career started. It was fun. It's been a pretty good ride for 4 years now.
Awesome, man. I'm so happy that you could find your passion and stick to it. That comes very hard these days. People just do it because it's the mainstream. And they're not happy. They're not happy with what they're doing. And that's the worst part.
Yeah.
And
I know I'm earning less now. I'm earning... My present salary is the starting salary of when I started my job in Dubai.
Right.
That is my present salary after 4 years in journalism is my starting salary in UAE.
Correct.
So, standard of living wise, I'm just...
Barely making
it. Maybe I can't afford the latest iPhone. But you know what? I'm happy.
Exactly. That's what you're
referring. I'm really happy. I mean, I couldn't ask for more. I'm not every day thinking about ending my life. So that's going good.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That's good. That's good.
No, absolutely. That's what life makes it, right? That's what fun is.
Yeah. I mean, your parents, they have a lot. See, they are from the 60s. They are from the 70s. There were no opportunities back then.
Correct.
So their hopes and dreams of what they wanted to be, it could never be realized. They push it down their children who are in their who grew up through their 90s, who are in the 90s era. You know, they push it on us. You know, it's a cycle. Now we are going to push it down the throat of our children. But I feel that the present generation, we are a lot more aware about allowing our next generation to do what they really want.
Correct.
A bit more freedoms are there. Opportunities
freedom.
Are there.
True.
And they are more woke, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, also because social media is also helping them.
Yeah.
More opportunities available for them, you know, at the tip of the fingers.
True.
Than it was for us and for our parents. So I agree with your point there. I know you got interested in journalism through
Nick Roberts. CNN.
And that eventually led you to pick up journalism as a passion. So you had an expectation before you started journalism.
Yeah.
And now that you're into this field for the past 4 years, you said, is the expectation same? Has it changed? Has the demand more, less? What is your feeling before and after?
Luckily for me, I was nearing 30s when I entered journalism. Like when I was 30s when I got my first job as a journalist. 29, 30. So I was way older than my peers. So my expectations was more in tune with reality.
Mm-hmm.
I know that just because Mithun MK writes an article, nothing, you know, the star is not going to fall from the sky. Nothing
right.
is going to change. So there's I had an amazing boss, Ranjita Gunashekaran, resident editor, She was our assistant resident editor with Hyderabad Bureau,
mm-hmm.
briefly, nearly for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my great mentor. She used to say that, Mithun, because I wrote a series of stories on transport,
mm-hmm.
on buses, and
mm-hmm.
after a series of transport, they even sent rejoinders and things like that. But even then, nothing changed in those buses.
Right.
The buses were still the same. The state didn't allow any extra funding or nothing happened. So my boss told me, Mithun, you write these stories, is not like, you know, every story you write has to make an impact.
Impact, yeah.
Not, it's like you write a big policy story and expect Modi ji to change policy because why? New Indian Express Hyderabad reporter wrote it? No. You look for small things. You look for like, then you started writing stories about TSRTC employees not getting their employees not getting their wages.
Mm-hmm.
You keep writing about that, eventually they get their wages.
Right.
They call and say, you know, thank you for trying. Thank you for speaking for us. Those are the small happiness that you get. You write a story and the GHMC zonal commissioner allots sanitation to for one particular area because you wrote it. A particular project gets expedited because a lot of people are suffering in that locality where the project is stuck. These things are small changes which you can bring about as a journalist.
Right.
It doesn't make headlines. Nobody knows about this.
Yeah. But impact has taken
and I
place.
See my colleagues in the News Minute. Amazing job they do. A lot of work that they have done have resulted in policy changes in Tamil Nadu.
Wow.
In Tamil Nadu and Kerala. I've seen in Karnataka also. They have,
mm-hmm.
they are more proactive.
Right.
The IAS officers read our work and they, okay,
mm-hmm.
this is an issue that needs to be fixed and they take corrective action. But it's not the same with Telangana or with Andhra Pradesh. It's a more casteist society.
Mm-hmm.
So it is on those dynamics that it works.
Right.
Just because a journalist writes it, nothing's going to change in these states.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. So just a quick follow-up question. So when you do these things, what sort of emotions do you have right now? Like in terms of expectations, what do you expect going forward?
Now we have a beautiful pandemic going on.
Yeah.
An economic crisis. So journalism is not going to die.
I don't think it'll ever die. It should never die.
It will not die. But it is going to suffer. A lot of journalists are going to quit. Right. A lot of journalists are going to quit. And when journalists quit, when news publications shut down and let's just say one edition closes in one particular district.
Right.
Next time when the municipal commissioner or some fellow in the IAS officer or some bureaucrat is doing some illegal thing in terms of funding or giving tender to his close friend who will do a shoddy road work and give it to you, you will not know about it. Only if you know about it will you be able to outrage about it. Only when you outrage and protest will there be
changes,
democratic action taken against the errant official.
Right.
Now when the journalist is not there to write the story, who's the end loser? The
public
is the loser. Alright. So journalism way forward is going to be more digital. But there'll be fewer publications, fewer organizations in this field.
Saturation, you mean? Or in terms of
there is no money.
There's no funds to start a new
Okay, let me put it this way. All right. Advertisement model of journalism is not going to work anymore.
Correct.
Not going to flow in because advertisers will pull out and we are going through almost recession going on. So digital is the way forward. So organizations like the News Laundry, New York Times also has gone with they also have a subscription model. The News Minute also has ventured into the subscription model, but we are giving in the form of like, you know, we subscribe to us on a yearly basis. Every week we'll give you dedicated newsletters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, all the articles are free. Nothing's
mm-hmm.
going behind paywall. There is no paywall.
Right.
But this is another one model. Now, what these kind of models do is it helps the public pay for the news.
News.
All right.
What they want to know, what they want to read.
Need not be. No, you are paying an organization in which you believe in. All right.
Okay.
You believe that, you know, public is funding News Minute.
Right.
Public is funding News Laundry. Now, when public money is coming in, you are accountable to the public.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
you better write.
I don't have to be afraid of writing a story against Reliance or to any other, any big shot in Telangana, because we don't take advertisements from them. But Telugu media, on the other hand, they have to take advertisements from all these political parties and everything like that.
Right.
So they don't write against the political parties. Half the time they don't. They either, most of the papers are owned by one political party or the other.
Correct.
So there is no free and fair flow of information. So where do the public go for information?
Correct.
You can be either choose to stay misinformed, or
you can pay
and stay properly informed.
Informed. Yeah.
So, but how many people can actually pay?
Yeah, digital is also not everywhere, right?
Exactly. So information is going to be made available to only those who have money. But that's the reason many of us haven't gone behind paywalls.
Correct.
It's important
because
to keep information free. But at the same time, I don't agree with the behind paywall model of the Ken. I don't believe in that. I believe that, you know, collect subscribers, but keep the content free. Because people need to be informed to take a right decision when they go to the ballot to vote each time.
Agreed with you completely.
That's the agenda of journalism 101, basically. Journalism is basically is like, you are informed. I'm informing you so that when you go to vote next time, you take the right decision.
Right decision. That's how it should be. It should not be opinionated. It should be the fact check. Now you make your opinion as a public, as a reader. I agree with you completely.
Our job would be to make sense of policy for them.
Absolutely.
Make sense of what happened and
what is
to
what,
put things in context.
Correct.
But decision has to be yours. What you make of it.
Absolutely.
But to allow people to think also, you need to give them information. Accurate information.
Accurate information.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. So, going back to one of your answers, you said that your sister was not allowed to do engineering because of your cultural identity, your Islamic
identity.
Because
she was a woman, yeah.
And
she is a woman.
Yeah. And you also are a reporter now with the Muslim identity. So
I hide it.
Do you have to? Why?
Yeah, I have to.
Why?
I'm afraid. I'm really afraid, honestly speaking.
Okay,
let me put it this way. My byline is Mithun MK.
Right.
And that is not by design, that is by choice.
Mm-hmm.
People, when a Muslim reporter writes a story,
mm-hmm.
if they see his religion and not
and
the report.
Report.
My name is very neutral. So, and also I'm not a Muslim. I'm an atheist. My parents are Muslims.
Right.
Just because they are Muslims doesn't mean I'm a Muslim.
You have a choice.
I left the religion at the age of 13. Because
right.
I don't find any logic in the institution of religion. There's no sense to it. So,
it's a human construct.
It's a human construct. People require it. Otherwise, you do not know what the purpose of life is.
Agreed.
So, people need it.
Mm-hmm.
And religion is a social utility. But the tag will not move away from me. When I'm with the... See, my name is Mithun. All right. It's a Hindu name.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm among Hindus, when they talk about Muslims, I know what they talk.
Right.
All right. When I'm among Muslims, they don't address me by this Hindu name because they think it is un-Islamic. So they refer to me by my father's name.
Okay.
Which is taking away my identity.
Right.
They don't give me my identity. All right. And so, screw them. Screw the others too.
Absolutely, man.
But in the newsroom, in the New Indian Express, I have faced certain issues because one of my reporting bosses was a BJP sympathizer. So, some days, just to irritate me, he would put bylines as Mithun Musa. And when in the paper, when it comes the next day, and I'll go up to him and I tell him, sir, my bylines always come as Mithun MK. Why did you change it to Mithun Musa?
Hmm.
Oh, I made it by mistake. So, it is to, so, 2-3 times when we are talking, he would point out, but you are Muslim, no. I would glide it over like as if it doesn't even matter. So when the time came for reallotment of beat, it has been nearly two years I was rotting away in a transport beat. I asked for crime beat. I said, give me crime beat, I can do better. They didn't give me. Maybe they have their reasons, but
right,
it's okay.
Everybody has their reasons.
Everybody has their reasons. But I'm not the only one who has, what I faced, I mean, is nothing in the newsroom. This is nothing. I have another of my colleague from Times, Sayed, who from the Hindu. When he was in Times of India, he used to face quite a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they even created a separate page called Asal Hyderabad, and he's the only guy who fills up the whole page. And anything that happens in the city,
mm-hmm.
which has got a Muslim name attached to it,
mm-hmm.
it'll be put in that section of the page, Asal Hyderabad. So the Times of India is crazy that way. They have some internal problems that they need to sit and really discuss about. So this was so that reporter had to leave. He's now works with another organization now. He is better off, but yeah, he has faced it.
Wow.
So for me, hiding behind the name Mithun, my name is a shield for me.
Mm-hmm.
It has helped me not be targeted for my parents' identity, what they identify themselves as a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the bias is fucking, is there. It's there for everybody to see, but it's just that nobody's not seeing it. They want to acknowledge it.
And that's the worst part, you know. People fail to empathize what the other person is going through. They just wage wars and they just show hatred towards the other community without even knowing the other person. And it goes both sides. It goes every side. I mean, I'm not saying any religion or any particular sector is perfect. Every sector and every religion has its own shortcomings. But without understanding the other person, the hatred that follows in a conversation like you were just mentioning, that's a sort of a hatred, not addressing you with your name and by addressing with your father's name or talking about Muslim religion with your Hindu friends. It's all hatred that comes with the prejudice that is there in the society without knowing the other identity. You agree with that, or you have some?
We, as Indian society, we don't respect each other's identity
at all.
I mean, we don't have the concept of identity arising in the first place, because we see an individual through the lens of his caste. All
right. Right.
So
absolutely.
So what is caste? It's a collective. So we give a person a collective identity.
You
okay.
are this because
you
are born,
you are
in,
born
this.
In this particular collective group. So if we assign people, put those people in those big boxes, whereas we don't see to the fact that each man and woman are their own, a man, woman, non-binary, whatever gender you are. You are you separate person.
Absolutely.
Those constructs are in the other person's head, not in yours.
Not in yours.
So they don't see it that way. The thing is, like, it boils down to our culture, our environment, the way our cities are designed itself. Even I'm not talking just about the cultural aspect of it. Even the way cities are designed itself.
Yep.
So these are all interconnected web of issues. It all boils down to how we perceive each other.
Mm-hmm.
I basically want to say that we need to view each other as people, as of identities, basically.
Right.
It's not rather
as
than
who you are, rather
who
than
you
what
are, rather
you belong
than
to.
Who we, I mean, rather than those constructs that we are born into.
Correct.
Only then, I mean, but how is that going to happen? Well, that's for.
That's a big. That's for another day. That discussion is for definitely for another day.
Black Lives Matter? I mean, maybe that is the way. I do not know. India will have its own moment, but it'll take time.
It'll take time. Well, I mean, in the past 30 minutes of our discussion, the only thing that I could sense is you go through so much of stress on a day-to-day life, falling with policies, on news report. I mean, knowing you and Aditi personally, I know how much of work it goes into in making one article work, write one article. In conversation with Aditi the other day also, I was saying, when we read an article, we hardly understand. We just read it and say, this work is a shoddy work. But nobody knows the amount of effort that has been put in to write that word or a copy of 500 words. And I've seen you guys, so I understand. So we know, and I'm sure through this channel, people know that journalism is not like going to your office 9 to 5, work and come back. I know even that has its own stress. But in journalism, the stresses that you and Aditi both go through, how do you manage your life? How do you manage your personal life? What is your stress buster?
See, the whole country is stressed. So,
agree.
When it comes to journalism, the stress is mostly like, you know, when the day ends, you're thinking whether you missed something, whether something important happened and you didn't know about it, and the boss asks you, this happened.
And that question.
It has been 2 hours and you did not know about it. That is the most scariest situation in a newsroom.
I can imagine.
Something happened and you're not knowing about it. Because you knowing about it means that if you know about it, you will start collecting details about it because you're anticipating the question.
Correct.
So XYZ thing happened. So we can say, you know, we have collected so much information, we are still waiting for more updates. We should have an answer. But that's the biggest scariest situation. So next day morning when the paper comes, every paper reports something and it's not there in your paper and it's your responsibility to bring that news.
Right.
That is tension. So these are newsroom things.
Right.
And getting the information right. That is another stress these days because officials sometimes communicate through WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances of official communication, it would have come, but it would be forwarded. You would not know where it is from.
Right.
The 20 minutes, 30 minutes will go trying to confirm whether that piece of information is from the official itself. So, or is it just a random forward created by somebody just walking around? So,
that can be scary.
These are anxieties rather than is mostly stress caused through anxiety. So all journalists are very anxious and edgy people because they're very anxious all the time.
Correct.
Yeah. So how do I handle it? Music. I listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
I game. My puppy. My dog. Yeah. My dog has been a huge stress buster. I think I need her more than she needs me.
We all do.
Yeah,
we're selfish in that way. We get a puppy to cuddle.
I'm actually a cat lover, but my cats, two of my cats ran away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I wasn't a good friend enough for them. So the dog.
No, cats do go missing. Cats are venturing in that way. Don't beat yourself up. That's awesome. So, would there be any advice for people who are trying to do a career shift, who are in the same place where you were 6 years ago before you started journalism? What would be the advice? What would you tell people?
Don't take journalism because you think it is some glamorous job. Take journalism because you care. You care about this country. See, it's not a 9-to-5 job which you can just do and, you know, log off. I wish it was. Even on this one day, which is day off, you get, you're still answerable to your office. You don't have the luxury of saying that, hey, today's my day off, I'm not going to be responsive.
Right.
If they call you, you pick up.
And you,
if it is something important, all hands on deck means it's all hands on deck.
Right.
It's a public service.
Right.
It's not a job.
It's not a job. It's a public service.
It's a damn public service.
Very well put.
And I thought, when I entered the job, I thought like maybe after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I'll be able to log off. I never actually, you know, it's not possible.
It's not.
It's not possible to log off like that.
Right.
You, even because after the news cycle gets over and you're free for the day, you're basically reading some article to enrich yourself to so that, okay,
it might help
you tomorrow when you're writing a story.
Right.
You have to stay updated about news that happens around the world because it's got macro, micro policy changes in your state.
Hmm. Right.
So you have to keep updating. You can't be a frog in a well. Like how my boss says it, you can't be a frog in a well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a matter of perspective. There's a lot of learning going on, unlearning, a lot of unlearning, learning. Don't take up this job because, you know, just for the heck of it. Please don't. Take up this job because if you really care about this
country. If that is your passion, just go ahead.
You can't join the army because your health is weak. You can't get into IAS or public government service because you are, you didn't clear the marks.
Not everybody is fit for everything.
Journalism is a nice place for people who have a questioning nature. If you're somebody who's critically thinking all the time, this is a good place to be. Yeah.
Thanks. Last but not the least, any parting words for our viewers, for our listeners?
Our country is going through a really difficult time right now. I don't even know if we will come out of this united. There's a fear that we may not be united at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sad thought. But you know, I have hope that people will realize, they will realize that being kind to each other matters.
Wow.
Often we forget that. In our words, just be a bit kind.
Absolutely.
Just be a little kind to each other in our words. We are going so cruel with each other in our words that it pains. You see a tweet sitting on Twitter makes me damn anxious because people are so mean to each other.
Yeah.
I keep quiet. I don't tweet much. I observe. A bit more kindness.
Absolutely.
Will be nice. So be kind.
Such a simple word, but it has so much of meaning.
Yeah.
Kindness. Kindness goes a long way also. But anyway, this was an absolute delight. Thank you so much, Mithun, for joining and sharing your thoughts and your life journey with us. And it was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Mother. You have a great day. All of us have a great day. Take care.
Thank you, and take care.